morning and welcome to Piedmont United Methodist Church on this last Sunday of April, which we also celebrate as a church as the fourth Sunday of Easter. We continue to celebrate the resurrection joy until the Ascension Day. So we continue the Easter season during this period. The announcements are listed at the second page in the bulletin. If you want to follow that with me, those are the regular announcements we listed there. Continue to donate for the food bank, and the books are available for missions purpose, and you can buy that for $10. Please continue to use our mailing address, particularly those who are remote, if you have any communications or any donations to send in. Our cooking class will be scheduled as we get volunteers, and our art class will be hopefully by Saturday, May 20th at 10 a.m. At the fellowship hall. The third Thursday luncheon and fellowship at the Golden Corral will be on May 18 at 1 p.m. And please join for a time of fellowship and lunch. Next Sunday, May 7th, will be the first Sunday in May. We will have Holy Communion together. We are all invited and join the Holy Communion next Sunday. Next Saturday, May 6th, we have a community event that the Hispanic Ministry is planning. We plan to join with them to bring more people into our community. They are actually visiting these apartments and homes around this area for this week and last week. And we are expecting, and they are expecting, a good crowd also with children. They will have some play sets and all that jumping stuff on the parking lot from 11 to 3. And our grant for a children's ministry has been approved at $2,000 that the United Methodist Church has given us, so we will be sharing some of the expenses with them, and hopefully this will be a time we can engage with the community. So please join and come together if you have time between 11 and 3 on Saturday. We can meet with people, and we have some leaflets that we can give out during that time. So we are praying for a good turnout and a good response to our church. Our annual conference will be from June 1st to the 3rd. The registration will start on May 7th. Those of you who are planning to go, you can go to that website and look for the updates. And then on May 7th, starting May 7th, you can register for that. Today is the last Sunday of the month that where we celebrate our blessings, anniversaries, birthdays, graduations, or any other blessings that we receive in our lives, in our dear ones' lives. So we'll have a special time of prayer after the fellowship time, and also we'll have lunch after service today. So please join in the fellowship hall. All are invited for that. Continue to be part of this church, and let's be thankful for the opportunities that God has given us to work through this church and this community to be a blessing. Thank you for your continued faithful participation and support in the ministries of this church by your prayers, your presence, gifts, service, and witness. Let us do the work faithfully that God has given us to do. God loves a cheerful giver. We currently accept donations in many, many ways, not only through our offertory, but also we can donate online. So please look at the options up online on our website. Many of your, particularly the ones who are on remote, have been using it. That's very easy to use. So if you want to use it like debit card or credit card or bank draft, go there and just a couple of clicks, you'll be able to donate online. Go to our church website. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any other announcements? If there are no other announcements, let us worship God together. Yes, Liliana, do you have something?
Yes, I have a coworker that just died a few days ago. He used to be a football player, and he had a concussion some years ago, and he has a tumor, a brain tumor, and he just died. His name is Tracy. Cannot remember the last name.
What's his first name?
Tracy.
T-R-A-C-Y.
Okay. Okay, we'll add him to the prayer request.
Okay.
If there are no other announcements, let us worship God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 98, To God Be the Glory. Let us pray. Loving and eternal God, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us one more time in our life to gather in your name and worship you. We thank you for the many blessings that you shower upon our lives. We thank you for the gift of life and all the things that come with it, Lord. It is only because of your mercies that we are not consumed and we are still alive. We thank you for this day that you have given us to gather here and also online to worship you together. You are the Almighty God who gives us everything that we need even before we ask of you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to always be grateful for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. We come before you to worship you, Lord. We pray that you will help us to honor your name in our singing, in our prayers, in our meditation of the word, and the luncheon that we have planned for today will bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. Teach us from your word, O God. Prepare us to sing your praises and teach us to pray that we will be inspired by the Holy Spirit in a time of devotion together. May your name be lifted up and your people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is our time for greeting now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
It's sitting in honor of that, and it's sitting in honor of that. I think it's sitting right next to yours. It's got a tin foil over it.
Somebody got a
crew
cut.
We have a time of prayer that we will celebrate our blessings during this month, particularly any birthdays, anniversaries, or graduations, or any other blessings that we enjoyed this month. Let us share that, and then we'll have a time of prayer. Anybody celebrated anything this month? Any graduations? Any birthdays, anniversaries, any celebrations of your dear ones? So if you don't have anything, we'll still have the luncheon after service today. Let us turn to page 607 and have a covenant prayer for the Wesleyan tradition. We'll pray that prayer together. You can remain seated. Let us pray the prayer together. 607. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it, and the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of life and all the blessings that come with this, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings through our friends, our family, our church, and all the fellowship that we have. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We pray for those who celebrate their blessings this month through various means, that you have blessed us, Lord. We thank you for a new year in their lives, and with the passing of time, you have increased and deepened their faith towards you and the love for others. We give you thanks for your past blessings and pray for your continued mercies upon them. Cover them with your love and comfort them, Lord, with your joyful presence. Guide them with the joyful thoughts, higher than their own thoughts, that they will be guided by God's will every day. We pray this prayer in Jesus Christ. Amen. The responsive reading is taken from Psalm 145, verses 8 through 21. Page 857, if you are able, please stand. Psalm 145, verses 8 through 21. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is good to all.
His compassion is over all his creations. All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your faithful ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living. All the Lord's ways are just, all the Lord's doings are kind. The Lord is near to all who call, to all who call upon the Lord in truth. The Lord fulfills the desire of all the faithful and hears their cry and saves them. All who love the Lord preserves. All the wicked, the Lord destroys. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless God's holy name forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. It's our prayer time now, where we come together and share our prayers of our blessings and thank God for all the blessings that we have in our lives. And also we share our prayers of burdens and concerns together as a church family and lift them up to the throne of grace of God. God's promise is that he will answer our prayers according to his will and his time. So let us pray, share our prayers of blessings as well as concerns at this time. The last page of the bulletin list, you have the list of our prayer requests there. There are some special call-outs from that prayer request that we make note of. Harry Basur has been admitted back in the hospital as of yesterday. His infection came back, so they had to put another antibiotic on him. So he's doing okay, but he's very tired and weak. But he's in the hospital as of yesterday. Please continue to pray for him. And also his wife, Jan, and you all know that she's grieving at the death of her son at this time. So they're having a very bad time together. Please keep them in our prayers. And continue to pray for Guillermo and Liliana. And Guillermo are online with us. We'll keep in our prayers and we love you. And we'll also keep the family of Tracy, as Liliana shared, during this time of their grief. Continue to pray for Martha. She's not online today. She must have taken her chemo this week, so she might be tired. So we please keep her in our prayers, and also Rich, for God's presence and comfort in their family. Continue to pray for our nation, our president, leaders of our Congress, and all those who make decisions that affect our lives. May God give them the wisdom to do the right things, and may God give them the fear of God in their hearts. Let us also pray for world leaders, for peace in this world, that the decisions that they make will be wise, that will bring peace between nations. Let us continue to keep our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all those who serve us. Let us be thankful for their services, and at the same time, pray for them and their safety of their families. Please lift up our church and our leaders of our church during this critical season, particularly as we are planning for our annual conference in June, and also our general conference, the Worldwide Methodist Conference in 2024 in North Carolina. Those are some important sessions that we have to pray for the bishops and all the leaders who make decisions, that our church will stand firm on the doctrines and the faith that God has given, entrusted us with, so that we can be faithful to our practice of doctrines and our faith. Are there any special prayer requests? If there are no other prayer requests, let us go to God in prayer together. We'll have a time of silent prayer, and then I'll close with a summarized prayer after that. Thank you. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Thank you, O God, for the life, the gift of life that you have given us to live in this world, along with all the blessings that you give us every day, the good health and strength in our bodies, and all the things that we need to take care of every day. You give us all the provisions that we need. We thank you for covering us with your love and protection and safety every day, and keeping us safe, and so that we can live here among the living people today. We thank you for all the blessings you shower upon us, Lord. We look up to you for our needs and concerns at this time and come before you. In many ways we are broken, in our bodies, in our spirits, in our souls. We need healing in our bodies for many of us, Lord. We lift up particularly the ones that we have named, who are Harry, who is in the hospital now. We pray for your healing hand to touch him and strengthen him in his body, and heal him, Lord, that this time in the hospital's stay will be more effective and he can go home sooner than before and be restored to his normal health. We pray for Martha. She is continuing with her chemo. Continue to bless her, Lord, and bless Rich as a family with your comforting presence. We pray for Guillermo as he is also continuing with his treatment and programs. Thank you for the stability of Guillermo in his situation. Bless him with your peace and comforting presence, and also Liliana, and comfort them with your presence also, Lord. We pray for the family of Tracy as we are shared here, as they're going through their grief. Bless them with your gracious presence, Lord, and comfort them with your peace every day. We pray for all those who are struggling with various problems in their lives, particularly family issues, financial problems, and death and separations and sickness and all those things people are struggling with various ways. We pray for your grace upon them and bless them, Lord, with your grace and mercy every day. We pray for our nation. We pray for our president and leaders of the Congress and many others who make decisions, that they will be guided by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. They will fear God when they make decisions. We pray for world leaders as they work together and make decisions, that we pray that you will give them the wisdom to make good decisions to bring peace to this world. We pray for our church leaders and our bishops and all those who are making decisions, Lord. We pray for your wisdom upon them, that they will make the right decisions, that we can stay strong in our faith and in our doctrine. Thank you again for the church and the community that you have given us, Lord. We pray for the service workers, our military, fire, police, and delivery clerks, and many others who serve us on a daily basis, that they will be safe in their duties and their work that they are doing, and also we pray for their families. Bless them as we pray, Lord. We pray for all those who are looking for you in various needs, particularly our church. As we look forward, we pray for your grace upon us to do the things that you want us to do in this community, to be a blessing. As we are planning for the Saturday's community event with the children and the Hispanic ministry, we pray for your grace upon this church, that you will bring more people here, that we can worship together and use our time here more faithfully for your service. We thank you again for the pastor of the Hispanic ministry and the people there. Bless them also that they in their ministry. Be with us today, Lord, as we worship together, as we can worship, Lord, with all the saints in this world and angels above, that we can lift up your name and glorify your name in our singing, in our prayers, and in the meditation of the word. Bring honor and glory to your name and bless us, and so that we can go with more power than before to be your witnesses in the days to come. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please. Thank you. Lord, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below, praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. The Bible says, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. God has given us gifts in this world so that we can share with others, Lord. Others, for God loves a cheerful giver. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to bring a portion of what you have given us for your kingdom's work. Bless this and use this for the blessing of this community and around the world. God is able to make all grace abound to us so that in all the things that we do, bring honor and glory to your name and blessing this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you remain standing, we will read the scripture. You can follow that on the screen, if you can read that. It is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. The Gospel according to John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I am going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "Well, we will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God and living Word, we thank you for your presence in our midst today. As we come before your Word, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to receive your Word with humility and obedience. Illumine our souls, Lord, so that we can see the lights and the truths behind the words. May that light and truth will become life and spirit in us, that we can be a blessing to this world and a light and spirit to others in this world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John continues to describe some of the events happened after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where Jesus appeared to many people, including his disciples. And this is the third time, according to what we read here today, that Jesus appears to the disciples, and it's in Galilee. Remember when the people who went in to look for the body in the tomb, Jesus appeared to them and told them that he will be in Galilee, going ahead of them, that the disciples were asked to go to Galilee. And that's what they did. And he appeared in random places. The post-resurrection appearances have been very puzzling and bewildering for the disciples and those who witnessed his appearance. He appeared on the way to Emmaus for a couple of people who were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And then he explained to them about what happened, and we know the story in the Gospels about how their hearts were opened and recognized Jesus after that, and he had dinner with them. And then we see the upper room where the disciples were locked in under locked doors, and Jesus all of a sudden appeared without even opening the door. They were bewildered, probably very afraid during that and puzzled. So Jesus appeared after resurrection in random places, in the ordinary times and the livings of our lives. And in this particular place where Jesus appeared was the place where they were deciding to plan to go to fishing in the lake or the Sea of Galilee. That's when Jesus appeared. Apparently they had decided to go back fishing and spend the whole night fishing but did not catch anything. That's when Jesus appeared and asked them, "Do you have any fish?" And Simon Peter told them, and the disciples said, "No, they did not catch anything." And then Jesus said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net because of the large number of fish that they collected. So the disciples decided to go back to some profession that they knew. Most of the disciples, many of them, were fishermen when Jesus called them. Remember, Peter was one of them, who was a fisherman, and he left his net and his father's business and followed Jesus. And Jesus told him, "I will make you fishers of men. Not any more fishing in the sea, but you will be fishing in the world, going to the ends of the world." And then Peter followed him. So many others were also fishermen, according to what we can read from the Gospels. But this fishing trip, after 3 years of work with Jesus, they are planning on going back to their business, and was not a very successful trip, this first one. They did not catch any of them, any fish. They did an awful lot of work all night with no results. The disciples were in such a frustration because of the events happened with Jesus, and now they are more discouraged because they wanted to go back to their old profession, and that's not even working. They cannot catch any more fish. So I can imagine the lostness in their mind and the lack of hope and the frustration and the disappointment that they could see. Many times we as Christians have to learn to deal with disappointments and dejections. To be a fisherman, you must be an expert in handling disappointments. It is a natural thing for a fisherman, because when they set out to the sea in the morning or early morning, they have no guarantee that they will catch any fish. Some days they will catch a lot of fish, and some days the weather may be bad and they have to come back home early. Some days they toil all day, even if the weather is good, there will not be any fish. They will come back home empty-handed. This is their living. So you can imagine the amount of stress and the frustrations and the disappointments the fishermen have to handle on a daily life. This is a lesson that is teaching us through the Gospels, that we as Christians have to deal with disappointments and frustrations as part of our lives. It is given to us every day. It is not always pleasant and beautiful as we like it to be. Sometimes we talk about the curveballs in baseball and softball. You know, some people throw the curveballs at you, and the hitter may not be able to hit it because it doesn't know where it's coming from. So he cannot aim the ball. So those are the times when we get hit by curveballs, and we don't know how to respond to it. So we have to be prepared for it. Life has all these big challenges that we have to face. The issue is not that if you have challenges, it is how we respond to the challenges that come in our lives. One of our friends used to say that the trouble with life is that the challenges are daily. That's true. Every day is a challenge if we look at it that way. Because God gives us more and more opportunities to do things, but they all come with challenges one way or other. We'll have to face those challenges as realities. The disciples were completely disappointed and frustrated and tired at this time, but they were encouraged by Jesus giving them the directions. And it's very interesting that he's giving the fishermen the direction when Jesus had no background in fishing. He was actually a carpenter's son. He probably had some training or some experience in carpentry work or some kind of woodwork or something like that. But here, he's giving the experience to Peter and other disciples who had years of experience fishing, particularly in this Sea of Galilee. They know exactly where the fish is and they know how to fish there. But Jesus comes and says, you are on the wrong side of the boat. I don't know if left side or right side make any difference. I don't know if that's what exactly it meant. But to me, what it means is that Jesus was telling them or teaching them, and the Bible is teaching us also through this event, that we ought to listen to God before we set up on our track on doing certain things. Did they really ask God and pray to God before they set back and take up their fishing business again? When Jesus and God wanted them to take up the business of going to the ends of the world and be with my witnesses. But here they are deciding to go back to their fishing business. But they did not pray. Or they did not ask God for God's will, God's guidance. That's what it teaches me. It may not be about the right side or the left side. So it is about also encouraging, Jesus encouraging his disciples even at the lowest moment in their life. Some of the teachers who teach some of these karates and judos used to teach the students, the first thing that they teach is not about hitting others or how to make throws, particularly in judo. The first lessons they usually teach is how to fall, how to get up when you fall. For the first few sessions are not about fighting or defending or offending or attacking, but it is about when you fall, how do you get up, particularly in judo. That is the first several sessions of their classes. Because fall is going to be a reality in that sport. And if you don't know how to get up when you fall, you are not going to be successful in judo. So they teach you very well about that. It's similar to this. You need to know how to get up when you are down. And that is what this event is teaching through Jesus' appearance to the disciples in this time of fishing. God is a faithful God who gives us second chances, third chances, and chances after chances, even when we make the wrong decisions and we fail to follow his guidance in our lives. When we run away from him, he would not let us go. His love comes and follows us. As Jesus appeared to the disciples in the Sea of Galilee fishing, he will appear to us in our daily lives, in our day-to-day events of our lives, and encouraging us and supporting us to go forward. And sometimes we have to lose to move forward. We may have to lose a lot of things that we had probably held on to before. We think that we have friends and families, and Jesus said, whoever wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whoever denies his family and father and mother is not fit for my kingdom. These are all the things that he taught them to the disciples. So they had to leave certain things before they can move forward in faith to follow Jesus. So in order to move forward, to advance in our faith journey and the mission that God has given us, we have to leave certain things behind. Here what they are doing is they already left the fishing business and followed Jesus. Now they are going back. That is not for a Christian journey. That's not what Christian journey is about. You don't go back to the things that you have left. We may have left a lot of things in our lives, about our business, or the habits, or many other things that we thought were good at that time, but when we followed Jesus and accepted Jesus, we decided to leave all of those things. But going back is not an option for Christian disciples. And Jesus is telling them, you are not to go back. This is similar to the lesson that we read in Exodus, where the Israel were redeemed and rescued from the bondage in Egypt. And they left, running for their life. But when the difficulties in the desert and their journey came and struck them, and they didn't have food to eat and water to drink, and they were attacked from the enemies from various sides, they started murmuring and complaining to Moses and God. And at one point, we read in the book of Numbers that they complained to Moses that, why did you even bring us out of Egypt? But we could have been there. Let us go back. So at least we can have food there and water there, even though it was torture and slavery there. But that's when they learned their lesson that God is still faithful. God can give manna from the sky and water from the rock, and the birds can become your meat, and God can provide even in the midst of the worst situations of our lives if we trust in God. That is what we read in Exodus and Numbers about the faithfulness of God. It's the same thing Jesus is teaching them, that I will not abandon you. I'll be there with you. Wherever you find yourselves abandoned or down, please don't go back. Always get up and do the work that I've given you to do. And God does not stop pursuing us or loving us. Jesus was the one who sought them after. He came to them. Throughout the Bible, we see that God's faithfulness, that kind of faithfulness in the scripture. Jesus comes to us in a way that is very familiar to us. A lot of people think that Jesus appears miraculously with thunder and lightning, and that's how God appears. Sometimes it could be like that way. But most of the time, God appears to us in our ordinary events of our lives. Maybe a little time when we are doing shopping, or when we are driving, or when we are talking to a neighbor, or when we are struggling with certain issues in our lives alone in our own prayer room. It could be very silently that God, Jesus, will appear and gives us the direction to do. So Jesus appears in random places in our lives every day. If provided we respond to him and listen to his voice, we can hear him, that we can also follow him. Christian mission is to not to go back to our old habits, but to start new habits every day. Not only fishing on one side of the boat, but also on the other side of the boat, if it is God's will. Sometimes we get stuck in our old ways because we have not started new ones. Jesus is asking that you need to learn how to take up new tasks and new habits every day, to go beyond what we can do, to stretch our faith every day so that we can be more effective witnesses for the love of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews gives us this advice: let us not go back. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And looking unto Jesus, we are running our race of faith towards him. We are looking to the future and not to the past. We should not be going back to our old habits. And also, Christian mission causes us to change our way of doing. We have to change our way of doing. Many times in many churches that we see that this is the way we have always been doing. Yes, that is why you are getting the results because of that. If we don't change what we are doing, we do not get a different result. In order to get a different result, we have to take measures to change our ways of doing things. So this is the way we have always done is not the part of Christian walk with Jesus. Jesus asked them to cast the net on the right side of the boat. Jesus made these strange suggestions to them, but they did not object. They just obeyed him. They did not ask, "Why, Lord, what is the difference between the left and the right side of a boat if it is in the sea?" It wasn't even a good or reasonable, logical thing to think that Jesus asked this way. Might probably thought that it was most the unreasonable way that they probably could have thought about it. But it just simply teaches that we need to do things God's way. The right side or left side is not the point. It is about how we do the work of God with God and without God. With God, the future is promising. And without God, the future is going to be failure and disappointment. So this was also a reminder for Peter's calling when Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men." The greater picture that they wanted to learn from this lesson is that you are not going to be stuck in this fishing business on this side of the shore. You are going to the ends of the world to become fishers of men. And this also reminded probably Peter the first time when Peter, Jesus called him, Peter was fishing. And Peter did not have a lot of fish at that time. And that's when Jesus called him and told him to fish into the deep side of the sea. And that we read that in the Gospels early on when in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus called Peter to follow him. And that time also, Peter listened to this carpenter person, Jesus, and then followed Jesus' advice, and then he got a good catch also at that time. So this account illustrates the principle that we should never be afraid to change our method as long as it is at the direction of Jesus. Sometimes it may not seem to be the logical thing to do. God's ways are different from our ways, and God's thoughts are different from our thoughts. The story here changes from a story of failure to a story of faith. That is what people of faith will have. There is no failure in our lives. God can bring out success through every failure that we think are failures, because if we have faith, we can be conquerors through Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says. Many times when we fall, we sometimes get afraid. We consider ourselves to be failures, but God wants us to step up in faith. The power of resurrection over sin and death comes, and after suffering and shame. After the cross is the resurrection. Only after the suffering is the power of resurrection. We may struggle through the moment now, but eventually there is promise of deliverance. So let us move forward without being afraid. Let not fear conquer our thoughts. Let faith conquer our thoughts and our actions. There was a farmer who, the story probably I've told you before, a donkey fell into a ditch. And the farmer tried his best to get him out of the ditch, and it was too deep and narrow that he could not get out. So he decided to put him down in that ditch. So he called his friends and started dumping dirt on top of this donkey in this well. They started piling up this dirt and started throwing this dirt over this donkey so that they can bury him inside this ditch and this pit. But every time they throw one shovel of dirt or two shovels of dirt on him, he will shake it off and he will step up on that dirt. So they continue to do that. And every time they put more dirt on him, he would shake it up and then step up. It's a story, it says that shake it up and step up. Eventually, after doing a lot of this exercise of dumping dirt on this donkey, and every time he shake up and step up on it, eventually you all know what happens. The ditch will be covered with dirt and the donkey walks away. So as people of God, the more dirt that pile upon us can be a blessing. Shake it up and step up on faith. And God is faithful that we can walk with victory with the power of the resurrection. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place. Amen. The closing hymn is Trust and Obey. It is 467. If you are able, please stand.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us too, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil we doth gracefully repair. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He showed, joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
People of God, go in the knowledge that God is going to appear even in the common things of our lives every day. When we find ourselves disappointed and frustrating, Jesus will appear and give us directions as long as we listen to him. There's a little song that I heard on the radio, Risen Christ, you send us fishing. God's great sea is everywhere. You have guided us in mission. You have given love to share. Through the years our church has heard you. We have answered your great call. Cast your nets where I have told you. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.